Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2. Available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Okay, he describes himself as a bemused Anglican, and he is best known as an author of the very well-known book, The Sacred Diary of Adrian Plass. He's written many books since then, though. But he joins us now, Adrian Plass from the UK. Welcome to Open House.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Adrian, the last time you and I spoke, we were in a radio station in Perth, and you sat down. You were a little bit late to the interview, but we forgave you for that.
And That's very good of you.
It was very, very generous, actually.
Well, and... you're lumbered when you're a Christian, aren't you?
That's right. I had to. But I looked at you at one stage during the interview, and I said, Adrian, does God laugh at anything? In fact, what does God find funny? And you paused for a few moments, looked me straight in the eye, and said, you.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty safe bet.
Thank you.
Anybody who claims to be a Christian is probably going to be smiled at the very least by God occasionally, because we are the most ludicrous creatures. I suppose we have our odd, admirable, sane moments, but I mean, when you travel as much as I do, and you hear what people say and the claims they make and the appalling certainty they have about some things, I can't help feeling that there are. More often than we might think, God says, oh, yeah. And just waits for us to come to our senses. So he probably laughs and cries in equal measure.
Yeah. Well, if he laughs at me, what does he do to you?
Oh, he thinks I'm utterly ridiculous, I'm quite sure. I mean, I remember a time, and I mean, people talk about God talking to them. I'm not saying that, but I was walking along one day, heading for a meeting, and feeling wretched, you know, really inadequate. I had a row with my wife or something. I can't remember what it was. And I remember saying to God in my mind, you know, I can't do this. I cannot go and stand up and pretend to represent you in some miserable way when I'm actually a rat. And if he'd said anything to me in reply, if he had, I think the atmosphere of it would have been, you go and sit in a corner, tear yourself to pieces, feel sorry for yourself, beat yourself to death, but don't ever despise what I do through you. And I think that's the point in the end.
Mm. You've just written a brand new book, and it's called Bacon Sandwiches and Salvation. Now,
that's right.
I think that you've got to be probably the first person to draw a obviously previously unknown link between the two. What's it all about?
Well, the link seems so obvious to me that I'm amazed that anyone even questions it. No, what it was, in our church, there's a lady called Liz Pierce, who is a wonderful, generous, giving person. But she's all her life, she's been a magistrate, and she's been a schools inspector. So she has a lifetime of flippancy stored up in her that was never given a vent. And which means in church, she's very naughty. And I was sitting at the back of her, back of the church with her one day, and the minister said, what's the most important thing in the world? And I, for once, rather piously said, salvation. And she said, bacon sandwiches. And I thought, that's right. The God who can create salvation and bacon sandwiches must be worth following. And it's only a step from there to imagining bacon ministry, where you speak to thousands of people and you fry bacon at the front and you say, if anyone wants to make a commitment, they can have a bacon sandwich, but if not, you don't get one. They would flood to the front. So that's the origin of the title, and it's really just a sort of alphabetical glossary of Christian terms with my rather individualistic interpretations. That's what it is.
Okay, well, give us an example then. What kind of Christian terms do you explore in the book?
Well, there are so many. Bless you, for instance, means clear off. A for astrology is an interesting one. The study of the movement and relative positions of celestial bodies, interpreted as an influence on human affairs. And of course, as Christians, we just thank our lucky stars that we don't have to get involved with that.
Boom, boom.
Born-again Christians, that means bigoted, narrow-minded gits. Well, of course, it doesn't, but I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but we've somehow managed to distort and dissolve that phrase, which is a central tenet of Christian belief, and make it mean exactly that. I was speaking to a secular interviewer on radio, and he said, you're not one of them born-again Christians, are you? And I said, well, what's the other sort then? And he said, you know what I mean. And I said, yeah, you mean, am I a bigoted, narrow-minded git? And he said, well, I suppose it is what I mean, really. But I mean, what a terrible, terrible thing to have done. One more here. Here we are. Christian bookshops. Places offering a wide range of narrow literature and usually called something with vine in it, hence the vine, the fruit of the vine, vine leaves, vine branch, vine harvest. Grapevine, off the vine, on the vine, up the vine, down the vine, round the vine, tuck round the back of the vine, pluck from the vine, drop from the vine, root of the vine, wine from the vine, etc., etc. And so it goes on.
Well, if you haven't pieced this together already, you probably recognise the voice. But if you haven't, we're talking to Adrian Plass. He's an author. And I want to say the word comedian, but do you like the word humorist better? What do you like to describe yourself as, Adrian?
I really have always avoided the term comedian because I never was. I mean, I began years ago when I had a stress illness. I wrote The Sacred Diary. And that really came out of a lot of frustration and anger and worry about, you know, whether the whole thing, the whole edifice of church and faith was just a load of rubbish. Mm. And I was very serious then, and I'm very serious now. And although I do use humor as a vehicle, I'm a very angsty, kind of passionate person, really, about what I believe and what I think. I wrote a book a little while ago called Jesus Safe, Tender and Extreme, which is kind of rounding up my feelings about the faith to date, and that was a fairly serious book. So this present book is a whoosh, a cathartic release from the intensity of that. But it's still I can't help it. I think it still makes some serious points.
Yes, and yet you were a naturally funny person. Now, I know that you started off actually more in theatre work, even though your early profession was much more looking after children who were in great need and so on. But you've also got that theatre background as well. So there's a number of things kind of, I guess, flowing through your veins in many ways.
Well, I'm a very lucky person, you know. I mean, if someone had got a committee together and said, we're going to decide how Adrian should live, what I'm doing is what they would have come up with. I mean, it's fantastic. I do a bit of acting, quite a bit of speaking, writing, of course. And I travel a lot and I meet lots of people. I meet lots of people to talk endlessly with about the same problems and chew on lots of ideas. I just love it all. I really enjoy it. And I am the luckiest person in the world. But I don't mean that. Don't get depressed, because I do. But I love my job. And being able to act and write and speak and all these other things is just wonderful, considering what it came out of, which was abject failure.
Yeah, well, let's touch on that then, because some people wouldn't know the story, but it was 1984 and you did have something of a breakdown of sorts. And I know that you've said in the past that, you know, basically your current career has sprung up from it, which is quite an amazing thing. What led to it? What were the main causes of that kind of dissolution for you?
As far as I can tell, there were three, maybe four things. One was just my general fragility. I wasn't a very real person, and I kind of cobbled together a personality that worked, but it wasn't very solid, and it only needed a little kick at the bottom for the whole thing to come down. And the other was the church, which was driving me bonkers. I really wanted it all to be okay and right and true, but it was so much kind of benevolent hypocrisy where we say one thing and we do another, or we say we believe one thing and it doesn't work, and we produce a list of reasons why it does. So that all that stuff, I guess. Thirdly, I was working with really difficult children. And although I loved doing that, I loved the children, I was in a secure assessment unit with very violent children and kids who were likely to abscond. And there was just nowhere to send them. And some of these were great kids. So if you take all of that and put it in a bag, it was just too much. And I abdicated from responsibility for a while, and that was the center of the crack-up, really.
Mm. And how long were you in that, you know, I guess those deep valleys of despair? How long did it take for you to be able to come out and laugh again?
Well, relatively, not very long. I guess about a year. And I always had very good support from my family, and also from one or two friends who did not quote scripture verses to me and did not offer me ministry except in the best and purest form, which is having a pint in the pub with you and just being with you. And writing was the great therapy because I'd never really done it before, and I used to sit in my upstairs sitting room scribbling away and wondering if anyone would ever be interested in what I was writing. But it was more than that because it took all this dirty water off my chest.
Yeah. Adrian Plasizer, I guest on Open House tonight. And Adrian, the Sacred Diary of Adrian Plas, which just catapulted you into, I guess, into the stratosphere, particularly in the Christian book scene anyway. You really poked fun at the church, and obviously that came about as a result of some of the experiences that you had. Were you ever fearful that maybe you were treading on holy, sacred ground?
Well, one of the great advantages of being in a stress illness or coming out of it is that you don't give a tinker's what anybody else thinks. Mm. And that is one of the major problems for Christians, I think, and for Christian artists and writers, that there is such a weight of worry about what people are going to think. And I was in the unusual position of simply writing from the heart because I didn't care. So I was writing the truth about how I felt, and the Sacred Diary could have been a very serious, very bitter, angry book. In fact, my wife said, you know no one's going to read it, don't you, if it's like that. And so I made it fun, and it poured out. And I think when people read it, they were just amazed to find that they were not alone. And I was amazed to find that I was not alone. Mm-hmm. That a lot of these peripheral activities, or the arm raising and the silly things, you know, are not that important. I think in this book there's something about fraudulent teaching or something. And the definition of fraudulent teaching is teaching that says you can't do it, only God can do it, but then when you find you can't do it, says it's your fault. Mm. And that was one of the little prisons that people often still find themselves in. And it was just wonderful to burst out of all that.
You have also, in your writings, made a lot about us becoming like children. And yeah. I just think about, I can't remember which book it was in that I read of yours, where you describe this big businessman, obviously, who has quite a little bit of weight, and he's just kind of loitering around a bouncy castle. And you're talking about him being this big blob of congealed dignity, which I think is a beautiful phrase. And finally, he climbs on and he has a bit of a play. That whole issue of us adults becoming like kids again, Where does that spring from?
Well, from the Bible, really. I mean, all the best things seem to come from things Jesus said. I mean, Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But also, in dealing with my own life and dealing with my own past, there was certainly, I don't know if this is true for you and for the listeners to this, but sometimes you've got to go back to the kid inside you and sort a few things out. And I think I had to find the child in me again, or allow the child to play, to be a happy child of God, not a miserable, troubled servant of God. Okay, we are servants, but we're also children of God. And discovering that again is such a relief. You know, people don't seem to like God very much. They respect him, they say he's awesome, and all this other stuff. One of the key things that helped me when I was recovering was simply pedaling a bike round and round. And I felt as though, absurd though it sounds, with God sitting on the back doorstep and me just cycling round. It's the purest form of prayer I can think of, that you're just with him. When you know your love, and I think the first task of the Christian is to be loved, when you know that, you can start to be obedient because you're truly motivated. I think an awful lot of churches and books and teachings start from the point of fear and obligation, and I don't know that works with very many people.
Adrian Plass is our guest on Open House tonight, and we'll be podcasting this via theopenhouse.net.au. Adrian, what I like about talking with you is that you can be funny. You can also be serious. There's a depth to you. There isn't just a kind of a surface-level personality there, and I do appreciate that. Do you ever feel pressured to be funny?
Yes, I do. I sometimes find it very heavy. I occasionally go to dinners to speak, and I find eating and stuff, you know, before I speak, and I sometimes find that quite difficult, and I can see people looking at me and thinking, how is this morose individual ever going to stand up and do anything funny? Sometimes the pressure to be a clown is a little oppressive, because I'm definitely not that.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to the person who's aspiring to write, or to let their naturally humorous side out and write satirical work, or to write novels, or to be involved in the arts in any way as a Christian? What is your advice to them?
Well, I certainly go with your passion, because all the best things I've ever written came out of passion. And by that, I don't just mean passion about faith. I mean passion about trees, birds, sky, anything, trains, traveling, whatever it is, where you feel passion stirring within you, there will be something there to write about. I know that sounds obvious, but it's such a natural pathway for creativity, I think. And if you're a Christian, remember that if you're not on the edge, you're not really anywhere. When you read the Gospels, when you read about the history of heroes of the Christian faith, if that's what they are, they're always on the edge, and you're always juggling with what's acceptable and what isn't, and what is indulgent on your part and what is truly useful. And you're going to end up upsetting a few people and hopefully helping many more people. And humor, all I would say is you've got to do it from inside, not from outside. You've got to love the church to be usefully humorous about it. You've got to love all us silly, foolish, lovable, strangely shaped people. When we laugh at the church, don't laugh at individual people, but laugh at us, at the way we are.
Good bit of advice. Adrian, as we leave, I just want to say there's no pressure to be funny right now, okay?
But the
producer of Open House, Kirsty Lee, and myself, we thought it might be just a little bit fun, but no pressure, to end on a bit of a word association game. Because we thought, Adrian Plass, they know he's got so many interesting things to say, so many interesting thoughts that I'm sure we haven't even explored yet. Maybe if we throw a few words at him, who knows what's going to come out? So
you want me to respond with individual words or thoughts?
Words, thoughts, or stories, okay?
Okay.
Right. Really, whatever comes into your mind and heart. You've talked about passion, so let's get some passion. Okay, first word, Anglicans.
Well, I've tried to define Anglicans in my book, and because we're such a broad church now, it's really, really difficult. So, and I've defined them as those who approve of women in the priesthood, those who don't approve of women in the priesthood. And I think one of the other ones is an Anglican is someone who, when Worthy is the Lamb is being sung, turns to her neighbour and says, I hope the joint's big enough.
Okay, word number two, Australians.
Australians. Wow. Well, when we toured Australia, I wrote a little piece that to read while I was in Australia based on our travels. And the moment I remember best, which is true, was in Queensland, where I went into a chemist and I asked for something for the mosquitoes. And this chap said, right, here's the stuff to stop the mozzies biting, and here's the stuff to put on after it hasn't worked. I don't know if that sums up anything quintessentially Australian.
As a born and bred Queenslander, I can certainly identify with what you just said there. Word number three, British people.
Yeah, I think we've changed over the last couple of decades. I mean, we used to be very non-huggy people. And there's a kind of culture of shallow hugging going on in the church. It's a little bit worrying, because you see men heading for the most attractive woman in the room to give her a holy hug, I think perhaps we've let it go a little over the top. I think a little more discriminate hugging is called for. But I'll tell you something. I just love England. Yeah. Every year I'm alive, I love it more. I think April, May and June in England is just about as heavenly as it gets.
You know, I spent 5 weeks there in 2002, and we went during summer because that's when we were going to get some sunshine. We didn't have one day of sunshine.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Oh, dear.
Hey, second last word, journalists.
Journalists. Well, there's a variable bunch, isn't there? I mean, my immediate response is I remember so many local radio interviews where the journalist hasn't read the book and is hastily reading stuff off the back cover. And I realised within a very short time that I'm simply filling in a gap. And then I think of people like yourself, where you have an interview which really does speak to you and opens up all sorts of areas. And one of the great things about interviews like that is that you find yourself discovering things that you hadn't thought of before and kind of making notes and thinking, well, that's interesting. As for written journalists, well, I try not to read any more things that are written about me because I think I agree with Kipling that they're both imposters, praise and damnation are. My hero, G.K. Chesterton, was a journalist. So I suppose if he's my hero, I should say yes to journalism.
Okay, I don't know what you're going to do with this one, but final word association, God.
God. Oh, well, I've got a long list of questions for God when I get to heaven. My great fear is he'll have an even longer one for me. I think he probably will. The whole thought of God makes me laugh, makes me cry, makes me smile, makes me angry. I just don't understand. In my heart, I feel a well of something about God, and I yearn for the day when the whole thing's sorted out. I sometimes really worry about God. You know, there's a verse in Peter which says, you know, it is not God's will that any should be lost. Are we going to have a very disappointed God in that sense? I don't know if God can actually feel disappointment. He isn't going to get what he wants. We may be amazed at how warmly, fatherly God is when we finally meet him face to face. I don't know. But he's at the centre of my life anyway, everything I do and think and write.
Adrian Plass, I've so enjoyed this few moments speaking with you. Thanks so much for your time at Open House tonight.
And it's a pleasure.
We do look forward to reading the new book, Bacon, Sandwiches and Salvation. And we certainly look forward to your visit to Australia next year.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.